Hello and welcome once again to Pat's podcast. This is a pretty historic day because not only do I have one guest, two guests, three guests, for the first time ever, I have four guests with me, and I'm coming to you from the historic Updike room at the Greenwich Hotel. And sadly, it's a Monday afternoon, so they're not open. So the bar is very dry. But very dry. I would like the guests to introduce themselves and then tell me why you're here.
Absolutely. Pat, thank you so much for having us.
No problem.
This is so exciting that this actually happened. You're it very is. Hard to get an audience with.
I'm a very, very busy man.
Very busy. Yes.
Walk my dog at least seven times a day and pretend to do legal work for about an hour a day. So I hope my boss doesn't hear that. But I don't
Well, I'm KD, and I do stand-up comedy in Rhode Island and surrounding parts, and I just have met so many great people, and I wanted to bring some of those great people to our town here in East Greenwich, so it's happening, and they're here with me today, so.
All right.
Yeah, I'm Emily Taradash. I came all the way from Woonsocket. Very happy to be here. I've been doing comedy for the last couple of years. I took Poppy Champlin's class, which is where I met
That's right.
KD.
I did too. Yep. That was great. That's amazing. Yeah. And Poppy plug.
Poppy plug. And then doing stand-up. Actually, I think the three of us were all Poppy's students.
Oh, yes.
Because
yes,
Karen was also.
After you.
After me.
Took the class.
Yes.
That's right. And I am all the way from North Provolone. Providence, today I came from, and I'm actually met Joanna about a couple of months ago with my friend KD in front of me.
The owner of this amazing bar, hotel.
And we talked about doing a comedy, and she just said, Charlie Hall. So I'm sure everybody on this podcast, if you're a Rhode Islander, know how famous the Renaissance man is, Charlie Hall. Yeah. He is alive. I'm touching his flesh right now, just to make sure.
Whoa.
He is not this consenting.
This is a PG, PG podcast.
Yeah, but there is a little smell of formaldehyde.
Yeah, a little smell. He does look good. We just puffed him up. We put a little bit of makeup on him, and he looks fine.
I pinched him.
He's a little alive. So he is alive and well.
Yes.
He did not die. Just want to tell all the Rhode Islanders out
Thank
there.
God.
And he's amazing.
Then let me introduce myself. Hello, I'm Charlie Hall, and I'm a jokeaholic. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Charlie.
This meeting sucks. God. All right, so we have an event here. We tried comedy here a couple of years ago. Went over kind of so-so. So Karen walked in and said, so how did you put this whole thing together?
Yeah, Karen with
yeah,
a C.
Yeah, how did I put it all together?
Come on, tell us.
Well, we came in one night with KD, and she introduced me to Joanne, and we were talking about how this could be a great venue, only because it's so much foot traffic. It's an iconic hotel, and the energy in here is everybody here is very friendly, I would say, right? Very engaging crowd.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Love East Greenwich, too.
And, I mean, there hasn't been a comedy show, I think, on this strip in how long?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. There you go.
Wow.
2 weeks. So
it's called Low Key across the way.
There's a Low Key across the street.
We tried it. You know, they're even less set up for comedy than we are. I mean, they just have like a bar, it's dark, and
right.
They put somebody on like a milk
Yeah, I've performed there. You are like tucked away.
But this place
is just designed for listening, mm-hmm. and we think it's going to be...
The stage is phenomenal. We actually have a real stage. It's not
real stage.
A real stage with real lighting.
Turn the mic to the stage so that people can see.
Yeah, you want to turn the mic to the stage.
Right there. We are really slowly setting the scene here. So when is the event?
So it is October 25th.
October 25th.
Which is a Wednesday evening. Mm-hmm. And you can buy tickets at the door, but I... Highly encourage you to buy it.
Strongly encourage people to get them now.
Now, because... Yeah, I mean, it will sell out.
Yeah, we were just talking about mass capacity, and this is going to be a blockbuster show. So
they can get tickets online at simpletix.com.
We'll make sure
and that will be
that
up today.
Happily.
And also, you gals Later. Are going to sell some, and we're going to sell some here too at the bar.
And
I will announce it because I'm here all the time. Here at the hotel, I live about three or four blocks down the way. I walked in one night, became the family here. They brought me into the bosom of this place, and they and I was breastfed, and and I don't officially work here, but
wait,
I,
do they sell that?
Do they sell the breast
is
milk?
That on tap? Is that on tap?
It's a special martini.
Maybe it was strained carrots.
Whatever, the drinks are great here. Yeah.
And so I do. I perform for them. I've opened up for some groups. I'm an artist. I changed that painting for them. Sophie B. Hawkins was here, and I had a big painting of Sophie B. Hawkins in there. Mm-hmm. And I decorate for Halloween. And what they do here on during the week is, you know, Monday they're closed. Tuesday is open mic music night. People come in with guitars. They have jam sessions. People sing. Wednesday is kind of all different things.
And this Wednesday, it's an open night, so why not have a comedy night?
October 25th, it'll be
a comedy. So Wednesday night. Here. Thursday, it's the best karaoke in the state because we have lights, we have a stage, and I just go crazy. Somebody sings a disco song, I grab a mirror ball from the back room, I spin it, I got a flashlight on it. Last week, I tried something, I sang, I make up my own videos often, but I sang from the Village People, YMCA, and I got five Village People on the stage, but let's make them Rhode Island Village People. And so I made one the Big Blue Bug, one was the URI Ram, one was the Best Dressed State Trooper, one was a East Greenwich Fire Department, one was a lobster, and so they're all going YMCA, and it was crazy. So I always like to do creative stuff when I come here for karaoke night.
You must have felt like you were in your element.
That is really
And then Friday and Saturday, they have bands, and they do very well here on Fridays and Saturdays with bands. Sundays, they're doing some salsa dancing. Or is it salsa?
Salsa.
Is that for some TV show? Okay.
So you can get it. You can come early and get a drink at the bar, because that's how we talk here in Rhode Island.
How do you spell that again?
Bar. It's B-A.
Okay.
Or B-A-H, right?
Yeah.
Bar. We have no... in Rhode Island, there's no R's at all.
No.
So if you want to come in here, make sure you
how
drop the R.
It?
Drop the R at the door. Okay, at the door. Drop the R.
What would you drive here in?
What would I would drive in here in a car. What else?
There you go.
I'm going to have my coffee.
Who else will be performing that night?
Yes. So John Parada, who is the Don Rickles of Rhode Island, this gentleman gets more laughs per minute than any comedian I ever seen in my lifetime. And I'm just turned 50, so... I've never seen a gentleman
that
can...
You're 50?
Oh, yeah, just like
Jesus,
KD is
50. You're gorgeous. Oh, wow.
So, John Parada, I'm sure people here know who John Parada is.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
He is just... He's a legend in...
John Parada, when I ran Periwinkles, this is where kind of comedy started. Frank O'Donnell and I were the Adam and Eve of comedy in Rhode Island. And in 1982, we talked to the owner of this place in the arcade to do stand-up comedy. He said, I'll give you guys one night. If it works, fine. Mm. And we did it one night, and it worked. And then we did open mic every Thursday, which moved to weekend shows, which moved to Frank Santos, the R-rated hypnotist, doing Wednesdays and Sundays. Mm. Anyway, all during this point, John Parada comes in, tries open mic. I guess I was the host. Didn't go that well. Didn't like it. He gave it up for like 4, 5, 7 years. I forgot how long.
Wow.
And then he came back.
This
then
is
he
the
came,
origin
then he
story.
Came back with a vengeance, and he has become... like you said, I always use that term, laughs per minute. He just gets so many laughs per minute. It's so tough to follow this guy.
He's fast, lightning fast.
And he's won best comic a few times.
He's opened up for Bill Burr as well. I mean, I'm sure if you go on Netflix, everybody can find multiple seasons or shows of Bill Burr.
Yeah.
And he's really the premier producer of comedy in the state of Rhode Island at this moment, and he has shows coming all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's something that you're
like
interested
a
in,
factory.
He also has acting class. I mean, comedy classes.
He does
the Comedy Factory, right? That you could, if you're interested in trying stand up.
Yeah, it's a $200 class. I think that it's already started this term.
But you can get
it. It runs multiple times a year.
But you know a guy. So
if you know a guy. You can get
a guy. You're okay.
You might even get a discount if you know John's uncle's father's cousin, and if he happens to be Italian, definitely.
Definitely.
But I want to bring a point too that Charlie Hall was the first comedian that was inducted into the Comedy Hall of Fame, it's actually in Park Avenue in Cranston. You can see his lovely
third
face.
Floor closet off to the left.
Closet.
Don't forget to bring a feather duster.
Have you guys seen it?
Absolutely. Oh. And I was always wondering who did all those drawings.
Me.
Yes.
It me.
Wow, you're so talented.
I am an artist and I went to art school, comedy, I do cartoons, I do courtroom scenes for the news. You know, when there's a trial, I covered Buddy Cianci as I worked for Buddy Cianci, as they were testifying about me one time. Because it was part of the testimony of Plunderdome that some comedian made fun of Buddy Cianci, and Buddy was mad. He wasn't going to give the university club their permits to open up a wall or whatever. And somebody gets on the stand and starts talking about the mayor was kind of annoyed that this comic was picking on him. He had heard this. And I'm drawing this person as they're testifying about me.
And then you got your affairs in order because Buddy Cianci being mad. I mean, I have listened.
I was working for the city of Providence then, but it's kind of like an oldie in Rhode Island. Only in Rhode Island, being so incestuous, can I be drawing somebody who's talking about me as I am working for Cianci. It's just crazy.
Are you really his cousin?
He's a cousin by marriage, right?
Oh, all right. Right. So that is a true story. I did see that.
Yeah.
I don't know if.
But you, those, the, are you calling them caricatures? Or
Yeah, like caricatures,
cartoons?
Right. The
caricatures of all of the comedians in the Rhode Island Comedy Hall of Fame.
There's about 12, 13.
Are done by you.
Yeah.
And they're such a pleasure to even look at because you really do capture the spirit of that particular comedian.
Right.
Just that while the girls have their mouth open.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you have some line about that?
Is that something you noticed? Yeah. We are picking this bone with you.
Oh, yeah. You wanted to make
this
sure they were hungry.
This is an intervention. They're hungry. Of women everywhere.
They're hungry. They were hungry.
Yeah, let's go with the hungry.
Yeah, let's go with the hungry. Go with the hungry piece.
Well, because like I'm the host and I have to talk
because
I'm paid by the word,
I have to ask you.
No, it's fine. I found it delightful. And I'm sure everyone who listens will be happy that I haven't been talking. But I saw in your biography that you played the Warwick Musical Tent a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Can you describe that venue for people who are not familiar with it? Because having grown up in Rhode Island, I have seen from Kool and the Gang to a Michael Jackson impersonator to wrestling to everything in the world there. But it's something that's lost
it's
now.
It's over there on Bald Hill Road, across from a car dealership, but really what isn't, on Bald Hill Road. But there was a place off on the right there that was called the Warwick Musical. It was called the Warwick Tent. Yeah. It was actually a tent. Yeah. And they put it up in the summertime, and they would have the big acts come in. It would seat about 2,000 people or so. And Frank Sinatra, Joan Rivers, Don Rickles, the aforementioned Don Rickles. And some people, big acts would come in. And then they decided to make it a permanent structure, so they kind of built it, so it wasn't just a tent. It now had walls, and so I'm doing comedy in 82, by 83, by 86, I'm getting to be better, and Pro FM decides to have a contest of a comic who's going to open up for Kool and the Gang. This would have been in 86.
I was at the contest, yes, okay.
You were at that contest.
Are you serious? So, Tony Bristol was, remember his name from PRO?
No relation.
Okay.
Was the host. And so we had a big contest at Periwinkle's, which I won. And so I opened up for Kool and the Gang. Yeah. And that led to me opening up for close to 24 more acts over there. Chicago, Natalie Cole, Reba McEntire, the Judds.
John Stewart.
Chicago actually twice.
Was it John Stewart Kill you opened up for?
John Stewart played at Periwinkle's.
Okay.
as did David Chappelle.
Oh, okay.
And Steve Wright and some other people that you might know. This is before, they were big.
Right.
The gig is an around, okay? So you go on this rotating stage and you do your 25 minutes and you just hope that you stop at an exit because you're never quite sure where you are.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny to do some jokes and hear the laughter kind of go right around the room.
But when
you are killing over there, it is unbelievable. It's real showbiz. There's real lights, there's people, you can pick on people. Everybody just wants to have a great time. It was like the plum gig.
Wow.
The Warwick Musical Theater. And I also did it at what's her name in the Waves? Book It on Sunshine. Oh.
Katrina and the Waves. Sunshine.
Who was it?
Doing Katrina and the
Katrina
Waves.
Katrina and the Waves. I opened up to them, and then once Frankie Valli, and then to PPAC, Engelbert Humperdinck.
Oh, that's right, Engelbert. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that.
And then before that, I'd opened up for Jerry Seinfeld before he had the TV program, because he was an idol of mine, because he worked totally clean. Mm. And I went to go see him live. I'm like, live? He works totally clean too? And then a few years later, I end up being his opening act. And we had lunch the next day, and I told him how much his act meant to me. It allowed me to kind of flush it out. And because I flushed it out, because when you first start doing comedy, you can be extra dirty. You can be too dirty sometimes, right? And too many dick jokes. Can you say the word?
You can say whatever word you want.
Jokes on this thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So many dick jokes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's how we found each other.
That's true.
Dicks.
We're like, tired of hearing dick jokes?
That's the theme of the October show.
Yeah. Dickless jokes.
So just finish that up.
Dickless
jokes. Because of him, I cleaned up my act, and then I ended up getting, after that, it took some time. Star Search, which was big in those days. Evening at the Improv, Caroline's Comedy Hour. These were all the big comedy shows.
Yeah.
I was on the MTV Half Hour Comedy Hour and America's Funniest People. So because I cleaned out my act, because I wanted to go on TV, that could happen. Where there were veterans, like Steve Sweeney or Lenny Clark was also trying out for these shows. You guys know them, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But you know, they're using the F word, and they couldn't take it out of their acts. Mm. And so they didn't get picked. Yeah. So it was like the next level of comedians who kind of got these gigs.
Right.
So that's what Seinfeld meant to
mentor.
Me.
Wow.
And I said, why do you do that? He goes, I like the challenge of writing clean.
Yeah.
You know, to use another way to say it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a part in itself, to be funny without doing dirty jokes, saying the F-bomb every 2 seconds.
And actually, that's inspiring to me, because that's something that I'm offering with a writing partner that I work with.
Mm.
So we are starting to offer this thing called Comedy from the Heart, where we're really telling jokes that are coming from us and not for the sake of the room, because I think you go to a lot of open mics and you're sort of playing to the room, but that room might not be your audience.
Mm.
And so it might actually not help you improve your act.
Right.
To get on a bigger, wider stage. Mm. So it depends what you want to do. If you want to stay doing that, that's fine. You can do whatever you want.
Right.
It's a free country, yay, for the moment. But, you know, I think that that's something that's really inspiring and important to me, because it's easy to get laughs from just being cheap, right? And it's really easy. And sometimes it's fun. But, you know, if you want sort of longevity and more opportunities.
Right. And that's the kind of vision that I saw, so I agree with you. What do you work clean?
Yeah, actually, I just wanted to advise the audience, this will not be a clean show on October 25th.
Don't get the wrong idea. Remember the dick joke thing.
I do work pretty clean.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's an innuendo, I would say.
There's an innuendo, and I definitely talk about sex and sexuality and dating in my 50s and
well, that's human.
All
that's
that fun stuff. But
it's relatable.
Not too vulgar. Yeah.
But can I ask how long everyone has been you've been doing this for quite some time, but where everyone else is
close
in
to 40 years. Yeah.
Close to 40 years.
I think I'm the newest. This is Katie, and I've been doing this for about 2 years.
Well,
and John Parada, I'll say that, like, I was doing open mics and then working with John, who was very, very much a cheerleader, a champion. If he booked me for shows, he'd listen to my set. He'd be the first one to, like, tell me, good job, or even tough crowd sometimes. Always just that sort of helped me after doing the open mics to feel the courage to go ahead and start booking some shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so then for about a year, I've been booking shows just about one a month.
Mm.
But I love it so much, and I love the other comedians, and I really like hearing what other people have to say. And I've met some awesome people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how long have you been going at this?
This is Emily. I started doing comedy in March or April of 2021. 2022, so not that long, but I've been on stage since I was 3 years old. So I started as a dancer, and I have 2 degrees in theater, and I've been on tour as a musical theater actor and actress, And so I bring singing into my act. And I
which
really,
is amazing.
As part of your act,
yes.
You're going to sing?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
So there might be some tunes.
It's a treat.
Is it going to be a triple threat? Are you going to dance to a little
I'm more
bit?
Of a mover these days.
A mover.
Than a dancer.
Rhythmic interpretation.
Oh, I love that. Yes. There won't be any contact improv on stage, though, I promise you.
That sounds sexy.
It is. That's why I won't be on stage.
What is contact improv?
You'll have to look it up.
Where did
look it up on
that?
YouTube, everyone.
Oh, is there a class?
I'm worried about my search history if I type something like
contact
that in.
Contact. It's just, you know, you contact. Go to Western Mass. And
so you touch the audience when you're saying
improv? No.
Is that what that means?
No, it would be the people.
No, you've taken this in a heart. No. That was a very hard no from her. No, don't touch the audience.
You have to ask their permission. Oh, but okay. Contact improv, there's no words. So it's just eye contact.
Oh. And then you move with each other?
Yeah, you move with each other.
Oh, so it's all about art.
I don't know why you haven't discovered this yet, Katie.
I don't know either.
I'm sorry.
I think I do it for the call of something else.
That sounds very difficult. And oof.
Well, I mean, maybe...
Does that happen a lot? I've never heard of this. I'm very much taken aback by this. Because
okay,
making... Yeah, it's okay. I mean, this is full permission, full contact.
We need to bring this to East Greenwich. It's a warm audience now.
Contact improv. I can't say it.
And you maintain eye contact with the audience?
No.
Oh, I don't know who that
would be. Oh, that would be so funny, but no.
Yeah. No, it would be so stressful for me in the audience.
Really
I'd be like, I need to look
sales,
at my phone, but she's staring at me.
You're like, give me a drink. I can't hold you with this person.
It's more what art, performance art.
Oh, somebody's okay. Vibrating now.
No,
see?
I think that's me. It's very excited by this idea. And how long have you been doing
it? So actually, I've only been started since last July. So a little bit.
Wow. Serious? Karen with a C. You're
Karen's blown
pro.
Up.
But I've been blessed. Yeah, but I've been blessed just for, like KD said, and he said, just surrounding yourself with quality comedians that have been doing it longer. Those are the mentors that tell you to keep going. Because it's true in this business. If you don't get up on the mic,
I've seen your
you have to.
Stop.
You have to keep watching.
Stop doing comedy.
Stop doing it.
I've seen your act.
I know it's terrible.
Stop.
Terrible. That's what
okay.
we say in Rhode
maybe
Island.
Maybe you can
terrible.
Yield. Maybe a slight yield, but.
Rhode Islanders don't know how to yield.
We tailgate the whole time. We love tailgating.
Those jokes are not going to work when you move.
No one's going to think
that joke's going to kill and everyone's going to be
in
like,
Kansas, you can't
Rhode
be going like this. Hey, thank you very much. Because we like, thank you. We're like, so. Appreciative when you let somebody throw it like
what?
Well, this is the next step, right? It's about being more global.
Global.
Thinking when I think global, I think Kansas City.
Yeah, that's what you think. You better get a lot of marinara sauce before you leave here.
Well,
they have Italian.
It's a lot of Italian people in Kansas City. Yeah.
Karen.
Did you see Casino?
Oh no.
Kansas City. E.T.? I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't know that was filmed in Kansas.
Yes, it takes place in Kansas City.
Mm. Emily, this is going to be your last performance in Rhode Island.
Well, or probably
it might be. So, if anyone wants to see
you.
Emily, you better.
If
be
you
want to
see me before the holidays, please. When I will be back, then if you need a fix before Halloween,
I do.
Come on out! Fixes. It
we
is also
do.
My birthday the next day. So, if you want to help me ring in 39.
Definitely.
Then
39.
Come on
look,
over.
We could all breastfeed you here at 39.
Oh, wow.
I don't want any breastfeeding, thank you. No, all said.
I thought the bosom, the analogy was really sweet. The breastfeeding one.
Everyone else can, that's fine.
No.
You can do what you want.
Hey.
So let's just kind of like button this up.
Before we button it up, does anyone have a very funny joke?
The information is, it's going to be, this comedy show is going to be right here at the Greenwich Hotel in the Updike Room. The address is 162 Main Street, right in the middle of this cool little villagey type street here in East Greenwich. We're at the hotel. 8 o'clock is the show. It costs $10.
Doors open at 7.
Doors open at 5:30. Actually,
they
open at 5:30. That's what time they open here. So,
I'll be very drunk by this show time.
And you can get tickets either through friends or these gals here, or on
social media
online. SimpleTix.com. SimpleTix.com.
And will there be tickets available here
at the bar?
Anytime,
yes.
Not just when. Okay, so not just on the night of the show.
So you can come right to the Hotel EG and pick up your ticket.
Yeah, you could. You could.
Come tomorrow.
You may want to come on a Thursday night when this karaoke is a good chance. I'll be here. They can ask for Charlie Hall.
Ooh, great idea.
Look at that. One-stop service here.
Wow.
There you go.
All right, now what should we talk about?
Does anyone have a very funny joke?
A very funny joke?
Yeah. I know that's a terrible question to ask comedians.
Okay, here's a joke. I'm doing a new show now called... I've done the Ocean State Follies, which was a comedy cabaret about Rhode Island. Mm. You know, two guys, two gals, a piano player. You would have loved it. Mm. You know, like Forbidden Broadway.
Oh, nice.
You
know, yeah. Like,
okay. Oh, the Capitol Steps. Mm. So I ran that for 25 years of Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. Then I did Drink and Dabble, you know, those paint and wine nights that people, and I did that. Then I came back to the Follies. I've also done this in Massachusetts called Mass Hysteria. but in my present show, it's called Aging Disgracefully, because Doreen Collins and I, one of my cast members, we weren't getting booked. John Parada wasn't calling us that much, and nobody else. We thought we were too old, so we said, let's write our own show about being old. And we wrote Aging Disgracefully, and it's an hour 15 show with stand-up and skits and little pieces of song parodies that I want to write, and it's going over great. And here's one of the jokes that we tell from that.
Go ahead.
Okay, this little old guy is driving down Route 95, some old guy driving down Route 95, and he gets a frantic call from his wife, okay? Herman! I just saw the news. Gene Valicente just said there's a car going the wrong way on Route 95. And Herman says, one car? There must be 100 of them. Karen, listen,
I like that.
I don't know how to say it in Italian. Yes, clean.
Very clean. Very clean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That is a clean show. It's, we do. 50, it's a 50 over crowd. Yeah. Although we could swear because
you sing them too.
They wouldn't remember it.
True.
Doreen sings in it too.
Doreen, we both sing it. We do little song parodies and you know, on the commode again and you know, you know, stuff like that. So that's my little joke. Who else has a short one?
A little joke.
I got a joke. Have you heard there's lesbian beds lesbian beds on sale at IKEA?
Mm.
Yeah, no screwing or nuts involved.
Whoa.
It's all tongue and groove. All tongue and groove.
You thought of that? Or is that somebody else's joke?
No, well, I had it, but then I had a little help with one of my other friends.
That's pretty funny.
It's all good.
That could go somewhere.
That's your joke.
Yeah, we
that's
go
hilarious.
With it.
You said it pretty well.
Yeah. So anyway, but hey, you got to see, if you want to come, you got to see more live here.
Yeah.
So October 25th.
Local comedy.
And
the
have
Uptight
some
rooms.
Laughs. Anyway, the science shows laughter is really, really good for you. So.
Yeah, and I mean, come on.
Well,
it's all about endorphins. Laughter is your true endorphins.
It is.
It's all about endorphins.
It's about them.
Come get yours.
Come
get your endorphins here.
October 25th.
We'll be passing out the endorphins.
Charlie Hall, thank you so much.
Just like candy. Thank you.
Thank you all for being here, and we'll link all the ticket sales and everyone's name in the podcast, and then you guys can spread it. And now we're apparently going to hug.
Yeah.
Which is this is
the last scene of Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah, this is a podcast, so it's a little difficult to understand, but we're all hugging now.
Yeah.
Thank you. Go team.
There you go.
Expectation we'd never come.